Well, I hope everyone is having a pleasant morning so far today. I'm glad everyone has decided to come and worship. Assemble with the Christians here who meet here at the Prairie Village Church of Christ. I want to welcome everyone, but I especially want to express my appreciation for the mothers who are represented in our audience today. I just want you to know you are appreciated. What you do is very important, and not just one day out of the year. Is that true? But every single day. I know some of you have dedicated your lives to the raising of your children and the supporting of your family in those nurturing ways. Some of you are stay-at-home moms. And a lot of people will say that, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. Don't ever think that way. Because what you do is the most important thing that anyone could ever hope to do, and that is to nurture those little minds and shape those little minds just to make them into the functioning, thriving members of society. And those of you who are God's people, if you belong to Christ, you're bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and you're just developing the next generation of Christians, and that's so very important. So crucial to the well-being of our society and our church. And I want you to know that God esteems your job very highly. Society looks down on a thing like that, denigrates a thing like that, a housewife or a stay-at-home mom. I want to tell you that God honors that position. Some of you have had to go out into the workplace and earn a living. I want to thank you for your strength and for your dedication, the willingness to go out there and to put it on the line and to help raise your family financially, but to not neglect their well-being, their spirituality if you belong to the Lord, and their mentality and their emotional well-being. Thank you for all you do. You have one of the most important jobs in the entire world. I'm glad it's not mine. I don't think I could do it. I'm glad God gave it to you. He knew what he was doing when he did that, ladies. Thank you for being here today. For all of our visitors and for all of our members alike, I want to encourage you at this time to pick up your Bible and be opening to James chapter 1. It's near the back of your Bible. James chapter 1, we're going to read verses 19 through 25. James chapter 1, starting in verse 19. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he is. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. The writer there, James, in this instance, inspired by the Holy Spirit, obviously, compared God's Word to a mirror. Let me ask you, how many people looked into a mirror before they left the house for worship services this morning? Yes, we got one taker. Only one? Well, somehow you made yourself look quite spiffy and nice without looking at yourself. Good job to all of you guys. Well, maybe you shaved, combed your hair, you brushed your teeth, looked at those pearly whites, made sure they looked just exactly like you wanted to. Maybe you put on your face. I found out that women do that. They put on their face in the morning, in the afternoon, whenever that may be. Some women multitask, don't they? Some women will put their makeup on while they're driving down the street. I got to tell you, ladies, that rear view mirror is not a makeup mirror, not when you're driving. Just be careful out there. But we're really a society that's got an obsession with mirrors. You go into people's houses, you find mirrors in the bathrooms and in the bedrooms and attics and garages, and we use mirrors for decorations and for other functions. Some people have mirrors in every room in their house. I don't know if that is vanity or if that's just paranoia. Not sure about that. I recently installed a full-length mirror in one of the interior doors in our house. And man, that thing's just pretty awesome. You can make sure you look good from head to toe. No reason to walk out not looking the way you want to. We'd really have a tough time getting by without mirrors, wouldn't we? You might almost say that we couldn't live without them. We could. We probably wouldn't live as well as we'd like. But look, God has given us a mirror that we really cannot live without, folks. Not if we want to live well, not if we want to live spiritually, and not if we want to live eternally. This mirror, so important to our well-being. It's not just provided to us. God didn't just give it to us to help beautify ourselves. Now listen, it can make you a beautiful person on the inside, and that's a good thing. But God didn't give us this mirror for cosmetic reasons. He really gave it to us for our safety, for our well-being, for life. It's kind of like those rear-view mirrors in the cars, right? Or the side-view mirrors. Only much more important. But those mirrors are there for a reason, and we should utilize those things. Many a car wreck was caused by a failure to look in the rear-view mirror, the side-view mirror, switching lanes and just causing all kind of trouble. I remember several years ago, I was riding down the Gene Snyder Freeway and not paying a whole lot of attention to what was behind me or beside me. And I gave a casual glance at my mirror, but I didn't see anything coming. I really wasn't looking that hard, and I switched lanes. Well, there was a fellow in a big old stomper truck right beside me, and I nearly ran him off the road. And I pulled up back over real quick, and I mean, this guy zoomed up beside me. Big, burly fella. He was hot. And I could tell he wanted to kill me. And he was looking at me and fuming, and I was mouthing the words, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry," over and over. And he must have forgiven me because he didn't kill me. So I thank God for that. But it's just dangerous not to use the mirrors that we have in our vehicles for safety's sakes. It could put our lives in peril. It could put the lives of other people in jeopardy. It just causes a lot of wreck. And look, a lot of wrecks, I should say. And look, well, many a life has been reduced to wreckage and rubble because of neglecting God's mirror. We got to be careful to use this mirror for our safety's sake. James calls God's mirror the perfect law of liberty. God's law is perfect and complete, and it's that way because it's designed to be that way. It's not only perfect and complete, it shows us perfectly and completely what we are and who we are so that God can show us perfectly and completely who we should be and what He wants us to be. And it's so important for us to utilize this mirror to make God happy with us. Now we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, about this mirror, about the Bible, about inspired Scripture, God-breathed Scripture. That's what the word inspiration means, God-breathed. It says there, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, God designed this amazing mirror so that we can look into it and see where we're falling short of His expectations. It could teach us important things about life and about God. It admonishes us. It encourages us. It reprimands us. It shows us the corrections we need to make to become the kind of people that God wants us to be. Now, the thing about looking into any mirror is you have to face up with the reality that it's not always pleasant. We're not always looking at an image that we want to see, and it reminds us of things that we need to do that we're not too hyped up about doing. Sometimes we look in that mirror, that full-length mirror, and we can see that, hey, we might need to start exercising pretty soon. Or maybe we're getting a little flabby there. Maybe we actually might need to go on a diet. I think some of us would rather go and die than go on a diet. That's just not a desirable thing to do. And that can hurt. Sometimes when we look in a mirror and it's being honest with us, not lying to us, not flattering us, And it tells us that we need to do things we'd rather not do. That doesn't feel too good. Or maybe we need a haircut. We look in that mirror. You ever looked in the mirror and was startled what you saw? Like, wow, how'd that happen? I don't remember seeing that guy the last time I looked in the mirror. I really need a haircut. I know when I was a kid, back long ago, when I actually used to have hair, I hated getting haircuts. I dreaded it. I don't know what it was about it. I don't know if it was an attachment to my hair or a fear of the barber or what it was. But I would just avoid that at all costs. And I remember at one time in sixth grade, my teacher told me day after day, the next time you come in here, you need to have your hair cut. Well, I never told my mom about that. I didn't want to get my hair cut. So one day I went into class and he took me up front and he cut my hair in front of the entire class. It was important to him for me to have that. But look, sometimes we look in that mirror and it's painful what we see. We don't like it. When we look and see evidence that we're not living right, when we look in God's mirror, we're not acting right. We're being negligent. We need to do something about it. That's true with the physical mirror, and that's true with God's mirror as well. We need to act upon the things that we see. That's what the Bible does. But let me tell you something about God's mirror. Tell you something about the Bible. The mirror that God provided us for our eternal well-being. It can cast a reflection that no other mirror on this earth can cast. It gives the most marvelous image of what we look like on the inside. The Bible can show us what we look like on the inside. It can show our souls to us. It can show our heart's condition. Nothing else in this world can do that. It can tell us what our heart looks like, or what our soul looks like, when our soul is dirty and nasty. We're not living the right way. We're not saying the right things. We're not thinking the right things. It can tell us when our heart's out of shape, getting heavy and lazy. It can tell us when our mind's flabby and messy. And we need to clean that up. We need to shape up and get things going in the right direction. When we can look at ourselves and see ourselves for what we really are, I got to tell you, that could be a slap in the face. God tells us in that passage we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that God has given us this mirror for reproof. You know what that word means? It means reprimand. It means punishment. That's not a pleasant thing. I got to tell you, God's mirror is not designed to flatter you. God's mirror will never do that, not if you're looking at it correctly. A lot of science goes in, and research goes into mirrors and their effects, and if they're colored a certain way, for a variety of reasons. Mirrors are carefully selected by business proprietors to achieve just the perfect desired effect on their clientele. Did you know that? I don't know if you've ever noticed the shapes and the sizes and the colors of some mirrors. They're placed there strategically to have an effect on you. Gold mirrors are popular in restaurants. Did you know that? Since they flatter the appearance of the patrons. Next time you go to a restaurant, see if they have any gold mirrors there. Pink or peach mirrors also flatter and work well in dressing rooms and exercise areas. I pulled this down off the internet. I'm not making this stuff up. There's actually a research gone into this. Bronze, gray, and black mirrors make dramatic architectural statements and create subtle reflections of people. Blue mirrors create the illusion of coolness and of water. And it's just, it's really popular in warmer climates. But look, God's mirror casts no illusions. If you're ugly inside, God's mirror just shows it to you, right to your face. It's not a rose-colored mirror here. It's not going to paint a prettier picture than what actually exists of who you are inside. It won't mask your imperfections. As a matter of fact, God gave this to us to reveal our imperfections to us, to show us the things that we need to straighten out. And that can be a hard reality sometimes to face up to. The truth hurts quite often. This mirror is not going to treat you like Snow White's wicked stepmother. That mirror treated her, if you know, when she looked at that mirror every day and said, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" And he said, "You are my lady," or "You are my queen," whichever version of that story you're familiar with. But God's mirror would have looked right into her heart and told her just how ugly she was. She wasn't fair at all. She was mean. She was wicked. And God's mirror does that to us as well. It tells us the truth about ourselves. It looks right into our hearts and it tells us what kind of shape that heart is in. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 has this to say about the powerful mirror of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. God's mirror, brothers and sisters, friends, God's mirror is the mirror to the soul. It judges the thoughts and intentions of your heart. Nothing else can do that. Only God's Word can do that. How can it do that? How does it have this power in it? I don't know, in all honesty. I just know God made it that way. He put His power in it. I've got this really neat cell phone here, and it can do some pretty amazing things. I have no idea how it works. I push buttons, and I'm talking to somebody on the other end. I don't need to know how it works, but I know God's Word works. It's powerful. It helps you shape your soul and your mind and your spirit into the things that God wants it to be. It will judge the thoughts and the intentions of your heart, it says. It's kind of like a two-way mirror when you think about the mirror of God's Word, when you think about the Bible. As you're looking into it, God's looking back at you through it. And He's judging you for what you are. Have you ever, maybe it's just me, be kind of paranoid sometimes in dressing rooms. Have you ever wondered, have you ever been suspicious that maybe those mirrors in dressing rooms weren't two-way mirrors sometimes? And you're standing there practically naked in front of this mirror, and I wonder if the store manager is just looking at me right now. Maybe it's just me. Maybe a bathroom in a hotel or something. Just kind of knock on those mirrors. Anybody back there? I got to tell you, folks, God's mirror is like that. You're standing before God, laid open and bare and naked before Him. He sees right into your soul. You can't hide anything from Him. When you're looking into His mirror, when you're looking into His Word, He's looking right back at you, and He's telling you what you really are. He's telling you who you really are. He's telling you what you really need to do to make that right. You're just so exposed before Him when you open this Word. You're always exposed before Him, but you realize it more when you open His Word. And look, that can be unnerving. That can be embarrassing. That can be humiliating, right? Like if that was a two-way mirror in the dressing room. And it not only can be unnerving and embarrassing, folks, it can also be painful. This Word is living, it says. It's active and it's sharp. It'll cut you. It'll hurt you. With it, God can pierce your heart and slice up your thoughts, and He can reshape your mind if you allow Him to do that. But that process can be painful. It really can. I want you to consider the listeners to that very first gospel sermon that was preached by the apostles when the Holy Spirit first came upon them, their first words of inspiration. When those men there, we read about in Acts chapter 2, who were gathered there in Jerusalem that day, when they heard those words preached by the apostles, they were pierced in the heart, it says. They were cut right to the quick. They were stabbed. Right? They were just hit right where they lived. It hurt them. And they said, and asked actually in verse 37 of Acts chapter 2, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They heard the awful truth of the terrible things that they had done. The apostles made them understand that they were responsible for putting Jesus on the cross. And I got to tell you, folks, that wasn't a pleasant thing to hear. That hurt a lot. And God's mirror will do that to us. It will pierce and it will dissect us. It will make us understand that it was our sins that put Jesus on that cross as well. It'll cut you up. It'll break you down. But it's also all so that God can put you back together again. Make you right again. Listen to what we read once again in verse 22. Of James chapter 1. "Receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to" what? "Which is able to save your soul." The whole time God is rebuking you and reproving you and exhorting you, and the whole time He's piercing you and slicing you and cutting you and dissecting you, oh, He's doing all that just so He can save you. Peter told them what they needed to do that day to be saved. They said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And he said, "Repent. Turn from your ugly, distasteful, repugnant, sinful ways, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins," He told them. And they'd be saved. And He tells us that as well. He reproved them. He corrected them. And he instructed them. He didn't just reprove them. He corrected them and he instructed them to do the right things. Also that he could save them. Also that God could save them. Through the gospel, through the truth, through God's mirror. That's the only way it can be done. You can't be saved in any other way. That's the power of Almighty God to save, encased right here in the pages of this awesome Word. You got to take advantage of it. You got to open that mirror up. You got to look in there. You never hope to be saved without it. James called this mirror the perfect law of liberty. I want you to consider the things that God's mirror can liberate you from, if you'll allow it to. The things it can free you from, that only it can do. It can free you from your pride. Until you get in there in that mirror and look at yourself for who you, what you really are, you'll probably never turn loose of that. It can free you from your immaturity, help you grow up. The Bible's designed to do that. The milk of the Word to help you grow when you're young, and then that meat of the Word to strengthen you as you mature in the faith. It can free you from hatred and selfishness and rage and greed, sin. That's what it's all about. It all boils down to that, doesn't it? It's all sin. The bondage of sin. That's how this mirror depicts sin. It's slavery. It's bondage. It's holding you against your will. You don't even know it. Sometimes you think you're doing what you want to do, but you're just doing what the devil wants you to do when you're behaving like that. God's mirror is the only thing in existence with the capability of doing these things. But I got to tell you about this mirror and about the way our God works. He can't use flattery or trickery or deception to pull that off. It just won't work. All He uses is reality. Anybody ever like to go to the fun house and look at yourself in all those mirrors that are lined up? Some of them make you look tall, some of them make you look short and fat, and some of them make your head look like it's about 10 feet tall there, like that fellow in that picture. Those things can be a real hoot, can't they? I mean, those things are, they're a lot of fun. But that's not really you. It's not really who you are. Now, you can walk away laughing from a funhouse mirror, either because that image is so funny looking, or because you can be relieved to know, hey, that's really not me. I really don't look that way. God's mirror won't do that for you, folks. It's not going to give you any distortion, any trickery, any flattery. When you look in it, it's just going to tell you exactly what you look like. It's going to cast an exact reflection back upon you. And it's no joke either, like a funhouse mirror. If you're really interested in knowing your flaws and your weaknesses and your shortcomings, God's going to show them to you. Even if you're not interested in knowing them. If you're looking in this Word, He's going to show them to you, if you're serious about it. I'm not really interested in my flaws either, but I want you to know He shows me just the same. That's just a starting point, though. If you want to allow Him to make you into the beautiful creature that He wants you to believe. What did James say about hearing the Word? He said it's not good enough just to hear it, didn't he? He said you also have to do what it tells you to do. Hearing God's Word is not enough to transform you into what God wants to make you into. James said, as important as it is to hear, we must be doers of the Word and of the works we read of therein. This person will be blessed in what he does, James said. Those who listen to the commandments, the laws, the precepts, all the good things God has to tell them, and then they don't follow through with those things, they don't obey those commandments. He says that's just like a person who looks at the face in the mirror, sees something wrong there, some kind of defect, some kind of dirt or something, and then they just go away and they forget what they saw. Someone who looks, you ever done that in a mirror? You look in the morning and you see you got a smudge, maybe your makeup smudged or your mustache is crooked or something. And then James is saying, if you look in this mirror and then you don't do what it says, it's just like walking away from that mirror and not straightening yourself up. That's kind of like a person who picks up their Bible in the morning and reads it and recognize their shortcomings because God's pointed out to them. God's told them through this Word something they need to straighten up in their life. And then they go and fix breakfast, put their clothes on, get ready for school, get ready for work, head out the door, and they just say forget all about what it was God wanted them to do, and they don't make the corrections. It's just the same thing that James is talking about here. There are no lasting blessings, James says, for the forgetful hearer. You got to hear it, you got to read it, you got to look into it, and then you got to do it. You got to do it. How are you going to do it? How are you going to read it and then be diligent enough to follow through with it on a consistent basis? How are you going to develop those habits, those patterns, to where you can look into this Word and then make the corrections as you go? Well, James says there that you have to look intently at this mirror. Another version of the Bible may say, look steadily at it. And he says you have to abide in it, or your version may say continue in it. You need to that means continue in it, stay near it. That means, folks, you got to spend time, considerable time in this mirror. The person who takes the time to examine the state of his soul and the grace of his God and the extent of his duty and the greatness of the promises, a person that lingers long at that mirror, reflects over what it has to reveal to us, and makes the capable corrections, the corrections they're capable of making, that's the person, James says, who's going to be blessed. Now, I'll give you an analogy of what we're talking about here. Some women spend hours in front of a mirror. Some men do that too. I've known men to do that for hours, just combing their hair until it got tired and fell out. But some women, they just... You could say they live in front of a mirror. You ever known somebody like that? Well, she just lives with her face in a mirror. And then they primp and they preen and they make sure not one hair is out of place and their makeup's on just perfect, and they just linger along there, and they make sure that everything looks just as nice as it possibly can. And these are the folks who make sure that all their flaws are taken care of. And they look in the mirror. But with a real mirror, with a bathroom mirror, I should say, or with a kitchen mirror, or what have you, a bedroom mirror, that's not good enough to show you all sides of you like you need to see to make all the necessary corrections. For instance, I pick on the girls from the 80s and those hairdos they used to have. I'll do that again because I can't think of a better illustration. But you ever seen those girls? Some of you are old enough to remember that, who... They spent hours in front of the mirror and getting the front of their hair just looking so beautiful. Those big poofy hairdos just sticking up and defying all laws of gravity. And you see them out somewhere and they just look gorgeous. And then they turn to walk away and it looked, the back of their head just looks like a pancake. It looked like they took an iron and ironed the back of their hair. They never saw the back of it. Spent all that time in the front and never saw the back. That's the advantage that we have in God's mirror over physical mirrors. It shows us every angle of us. It shows us every aspect of our life that we need to make a correction. And we can, when we walk away from God's mirror, we can take care of it all. We can make ourselves what God wants us to be. But we got to linger long at it. We got to live in it. We got to abide there. We have to stay there. We have to put the time and the investment into that pursuit. God's mirror will show you every angle. The good, the bad, the ugly, every gory detail to change you the way God wants you to change. And James says, the one who sees or hears and does, he is the one who's going to be blessed. The Bible is all about doing, folks. I think a lot of people look at the Bible as just a bunch of thou shalt nots. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, or commit adultery. I got to tell you, that's just half the picture of the Bible. The Bible is all about doing. It's all about being proactive. The Bible is designed to make you active. The Bible says don't be prideful, but it says do be humble. It says don't fornicate, but it says do treat your body like the temple of God. It says don't curse, but it says let all of your speech be seasoned with salt, so that it would be palatable to the people who hear it. It's not just about what you shouldn't do. It's all about what you should do, what you must do. You must be a doer of the Word if you're going to be blessed by God. Abide long at that mirror. Learn it. Remember it. Do it. And be blessed. And then you're going to find the most wonderful thing happens when you do that. Last passage of Scripture, two passages, back to back. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. You're going to find out what the Word will do to you without you even realizing it, this process that takes place and the wonderful outcome of that. If you abide long at it and you take it serious and you make the corrections. 2 Corinthians 3, 16 through 18. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is lifted away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. The more time you spend in this Word, exposing yourself to the Lord's glory, it just rubs off on you. Just transforms you into the image of His dear Son. What else in the world do you know of that could possibly do a thing like that other than God's Word? Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new self who is being renewed in a true knowledge according to the image of the One who created Him. The more we expose ourselves to this mirror, the more we read that knowledge, take in that Word, the more we're being transformed in the image of God. Take advantage of that mirror. There's nothing on this earth that is even near its equal. And it can make you into the most wonderful person that you could ever be in the eyes of God. He already loves you, no matter what you look like, no matter how messy you are. He wants to make you better. He wants to make you the best you can be. And He wants to carry you all the way home to heaven. You can go ahead and pick up your songbooks. I'm going to sing number 605. Just a moment to give you an opportunity to obey the gospel this morning, just to do what the mirror tells you to do. As painful and as sharp and as difficult as this changing and this reshaping can be sometimes, folks, I got to tell you, it's just so worth it. When we're exposing ourselves to that Word and we're being doers and not just hearers, over time, it gives us a complete makeover. You ladies like to have a complete makeover? How about you men? Wouldn't that be a good thing? Maybe a do-over? Some of the mistakes you had made in your life. Can I just back up time and just do that over? Look, God can't take away the mistakes we've made, but He can change us just the same. He can forgive us, and He can turn us into the spiritual beings that He has designed us to be. Not this fleshly, carnal, lustful beings that we have a tendency to be outside of the Lord. He can turn us into Christians. You know what that word Christian means? It means Christ-like. That's what happens when you expose yourself to this Word and you take it seriously and you obey it. Just more and more exposing yourself to your Lord and your Savior and His mind. And He's changing you into His image more and more. Only the gospel can do that. Not a preacher. No matter how charismatic a speaker he may be, no matter how flamboyant he may be, not your father, no matter what a good person he was or is, not your husband and your wife, no one else can do that. Only God's Word. Look in it, abide in it, be honest with yourself, and admit to yourselves what kind of things need to be changed. Do you need to live your life differently? Do you need to change your attitude? You got a poor attitude about life and the way you're treating other people? You need to change your behavior? You need to change the way you talk? Do you need to change the way you worship? You'll look in this Bible, it'll tell you whether you're worshiping right or not. Or maybe you're just never giving yourself to the Lord to start with. Maybe you're just lost. Maybe you're in the bondage of sin this very moment. Well, the Bible tells us what we need to do to make that right. Just like Peter told those men that day in Acts chapter 2 in Jerusalem, repent of your sins and be baptized in order to have them forgiven. Come straight out of the mirror. Can we help you with that this morning? Can we baptize you into Christ? Can we study with you? Can we sit down across a table or a pew and open that mirror up and just talk about those things? Anything we can do to help you this morning, we can pray for you or with you. That's what we want to do. So if we can help you, you come up here and let me know what's on your mind while we're standing and singing.